Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. Hallelujah. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for Inspirational Wednesday. Words of Wisdom. Hosted by myself, Diane Adams. And always, it's a pleasure and an honor to come before you as we explore the Word of God together. This is truly a day that God has made, and we all should rejoice and be glad in it. I am so elated that God has allowed us to come together one more Wednesday as we explore His Word together. I'm happy tonight, and I pray that all of you have joy in your heart, remembering what God has done, what He's doing right now, and what He promised to do. As always, we've been exploring the Word of God together with the books of the Bible, and we started in Genesis. And tonight, we in the book of Philemon, and it's also a book that was written by Paul. And we're going to be in the first chapter, because there's only one chapter. What we're going to do is always, you know, we play a song. But because the book of Philemon is a book about a slave, and we just happen to be in the month of February, which is Black History Month, I decided to do something a little bit different, y'all, what we're going to do. So right now, I'm going to play a message, a short message from Martin Luther King, you know. Listen to what he's saying. And it was the same sermon of Paul in his letter. Okay. Listen and be blessed. I
And that was Martin Luther King. He said, don't get weary, the end of it. And I don't know if you could hear it clearly. He said, but we're going to have a great gathering in the promised land. And that's a message that we have to hold on to. And I'm going to play a short song by Mahalia Jackson. And then we're going to go into our lesson. And we're going to explore the word of God together. And I use that little time so that we could reflect on our past, where we were, and where we are today. With that being said, it's time to go to the throne of grace. And if there's anyone who would like to lead us in prayer tonight, you can press the one button on your phone. And you could come straight into the studio, and I'll open the mic. Those who may be listening on the internet, join in and have something to say. You could call the call-in number 1-347-945-7659, and you could press the one button on your phone. And I will open a mic, and you will be able to do phone or anything that you may want to do for us on tonight. If there's anyone, again, who would like to pray, you must press the one button on your phone, and I'll open the mic. There's a caller on the phone, 27954. I don't know if you would like on the mic. And I'll see if you would. If not, I'll close it and we're going to press. Caller, your number is 27954.
That's me. No, I was just coming on.
Okay, caller. Thank you for coming on tonight. We're going to go ahead and pray. God, I just want to thank you one more time. Lord, you've been better to us than we could ever be to ourselves. Lord, you let us come together on Wednesday night with words of wisdom, plain and simple, as we explore your word together. Lord, you have had us on the airway for over 5 years, and I know it's not an accident, and for that we say thank you. Thank you, dear God, where you allow us to come together, brothers and sisters in Christ, to learn of you by your word. Lord, we are so grateful, we are so honored, and we are so privileged to have you in our lives, dear God, and for that we say thank you. We thank you right now, dear God, for our health, our strength, our well-being, Lord. We thank you for our financial blessings, dear God. We thank you for our homes, dear God. We thank you for our children, our family, our relatives, our friends, our neighbors, and even our enemies. We thank you, dear God, for being in total control. We thank you for your son who shed his blood. We thank you for your spirit, dear God, and we also thank you for the Holy Spirit that's with us on tonight, that's going to open up our eyes and our mind and our ears that we could hear what the word of God is saying to us. I want to thank you for your Holy Spirit that gives illumination and revelation of your word, dear God. I want to thank you for your Holy Spirit that's not going to allow this word to return void. Lord, we say thank you. We give you praise, honor, and glory because you deserve it, dear God. And we sing, glory be to your wonderful name. Heavenly Father, all of these blessings and others we ask in your darling son Jesus' name for all of our sakes. Amen, and thank God. Well, it's time to go into the lesson, and several callers has called since we first announced where the lesson is coming from. But the lesson tonight is coming from the book of Philemon. We in the first chapter, and Philemon only has one chapter for those who may not have had time to read what was, posted to read. But Philemon is the book that only has one chapter. And we in that book today, and the title of the lesson is, Do What Is Right, Because It's the Right Thing to Do. I'm going to say that again. Do what is right, because it is the right thing to do. Well, when we look at our lesson, we can learn several things. You know, the writer of our lesson tonight is Paul. And this is the last letter listed in the Bible of the 13 letters that Paul wrote. So with that being said, I could not close this chapter of the Paulinial, because they call Paulinial letters as well. Some people like to say epistles, and, it's listed in the Bible as a book. But, I cannot close this chapter summary of the man named Paul. For 13 weeks, we have been in the letters of Paul in the Bible, looking and reviewing and studying each one each week. Tonight is the last letter, the letter that he wrote to Philemon. But you need to know that no person apart from Jesus himself shaped the history of humanity and Christianity like Paul. You see, before meeting Jesus on the road to Damascus, he was known as Saul of Tarsus. But you see, that was his Jewish name. But after meeting Jesus, he was baptized. He changed his name from Saul to Paul. And I say it, he changed his name because there's a, you know, it's often taught, you know, plenty of people's name was changed in the Bible, and they'll think that God changed the name. You know, God changed Abram to Abraham and Sarah to Sarah. You know, he changed names like that, and Peter to Simon, from Simon to Peter. But Paul changed his own name. It wasn't changed by God. But he changed his name to Paul, which is the Greek name for the name Saul. And he used this Greek name to reflect his new persona and began traveling, preaching, and teaching to the Gentiles. That's amazing. See, Gentiles was Greek. And since God had given him a message to go to the Gentiles, he used his Greek name so it could blend in better. Hallelujah. You see, Paul was first Saul, and then he became Paul. But after he was martyred, he became Saint Paul. Because you see, in the early church, anyone that was martyred for the gospel of Jesus Christ, a martyr is anyone who has strong conviction about something. But the ones in the Bible was martyred because of their conviction with Jesus Christ. And anyone that was martyred back then, they made him a saint. So that's how he became Saint Paul. You know, all these churches we got, y'all know St. Paul, apostle, St. Paul, evangelist, St. Paul, all of these things, it's named after Paul. You see, nowadays, certain individuals are made saints by being canonized by a pope. You see, his letters to the churches help form a large percentage of the New Testament. You know, he wrote just about almost half of the New Testament. Even before he was a believer, his actions were significant. You know, he persecuted the Christians who, after Stephen's death, Stephen was the first person martyred, and they say Paul was right there looking at it. But after Stephen was martyred, he started crucifying the Christians even more. You see, but then what happened? Paul personally encountered Jesus, and his life changed forever. But you see, after he was going against God, and he met Jesus, and Jesus gave him an anointment and an appointment, hallelujah, his intensity didn't change, but from then on, it was channeled for the gospel. You see, Paul, as a Pharisee, you know, the Pharisees was the one that knew the Bible back and front and back, and Jesus often taught that the Pharisees knew the law, but they didn't know how to love. But you see, Paul was a Pharisee, so that meant that he knew the Bible well, and his faith in Judaism taught him that Christianity was blasphemous against God. So that's why he was crucifying, persecuting Christians every chance he got. And he did it without mercy. You see, until Paul's conversion, little had been done about carrying the gospel to the non-Jews. You know, God had chose this nation. The Jews was the chosen nation. They received everything from God, and the Jews and the non-Jews, which were the Gentiles, was not offered the word. They was not offered the chance to receive. And after God had did so much for his people, his nation, his chosen ones, and they just couldn't get it right, God decided that he would open it up to everyone. And that's how the Gentiles had their chance at the tree of life. And God chose Paul to bring the message to the Gentiles. And like I say, until he was converted, you know, no one was doing much about bringing the gospel to the non-Jews. Paul worked hard to convince the Jews, because you see, it was a battle, because they wasn't ready to accept the Gentiles. He had a hard time to convince the Jews that Gentiles was acceptable to God. But watch this. He had to spend even more time trying to convince the Gentiles that they were acceptable to God. You see, the life that Paul lived, teaching and preaching the good news of Jesus Christ, has touched many lives of old, and even today, still touching lives with his writing that God inspired him to write, and many has met Jesus Christ through him. Hallelujah. God did not waste any part of Paul's life, his background, his training, his mind, and even his weaknesses. You see, God uses all of our life experiences to achieve his intended purpose designed for our lives. See, God used our good, our bad, and our ugly. And he used it at the appointed time to achieve what he's trying to achieve in and through us. You know, some of us have a past that we don't like, but that past is what helps us to get the job done in the future. You understand what I'm saying? See, God used all of our life experiences. So it's nothing that has ever happened to you or will happen to you that will take God by surprise. And in all of it, he's going to work it out together for your good. You see, you will never know all he can do with you until you allow him to have all of you. You see, the book of Philemon is the book that we're in tonight, and Paul wrote it. I just wanted to tell you something about the man, because this is the last Paulinian letter. You see, Philemon is one of the three personal letters written to individuals by Paul. You remember when we studied all of them, he would write to the church of Philippians, the church of Galatians, the Thessalonians. You know, he was writing to churches and groups of people, but he wrote three personal letters. And Philemon is one of them. He wrote to Timothy personally. He writing to Philemon on tonight personally, and he wrote to Titus, what we did last week. You see, the letter to Philemon is the shortest of all Paul's writing. It is only one chapter. It has 335 words and only 25 verses. But I come to tell you tonight, it contains a powerful message that deals with the practice of slavery. And that's why earlier I let Martin Luther King talk. And then I put on Mahalia Jackson and she sung, "We Shall Overcome." You see, what Paul is going to do and how he's going to do with Philemon on the night, it's the same thing Martin Luther King was doing for us. When Martin Luther King was interceding on our behalf, Paul is interceding on Philemon's behalf. And both of them same and talking about that one day. Martin Luther King, at the end of that speech, said, "We're going to have a great gathering in the New Jerusalem." And Paul felt the same way about Christianity and about what Christ had done for us. You know, we may have hard times here, but oh, one day, oh, happy day, deals with the practice of slavery. It's amazing we in this book tonight, and we in the month of February, and February is Black History Month, but that's the way it fell. And it's the way we're going to do it. It was written before 1 Timothy. The letter suggests that Paul was in prison at the time of the writing, and Philemon was a wealthy slave owner who also hosted a church in his home. During the time of Paul's ministry in Ephesus, Philemon had likely journeyed to the city, heard Paul's preaching, and became a Christian. Onesimus was his slave. If you read the story, and if you didn't, I pray that you get enough from me on tonight that could help you to know the book of Philemon and the message that God is trying to send. Onesimus was his slave, and he robbed his master, which was Philemon. He ran away, making his way to Rome. But one day, somehow, some way, he ran into Paul. You see, and once he heard the truth, he became a Christian. Onesimus was still the property of Philemon. You see, when you become a Christian, it doesn't solve all your problems, but it gives you someone to go through it with that is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than you could think or act by the power that he uses and works in us. You see, Paul wrote a letter to smooth the way for the return of Onesimus back to his master. Paul wanted Philemon to accept Onesimus as a brother in Christ and not merely a slave. You see, this book gives a strong message of people as equal, regardless of their culture, the cultural practices of the day. You know, they had the rich, the poor. It was the educated against the educated, the light skin against the dark skin. It was all of these prejudices that was going on. And Paul was trying to tell him, once we get in Christ, we all equal, we one in Christ. He was trying to give him the message. So he wrote the letter to, you know, smooth the way out, to tell him how to accept him, even though the cultural practice of that day was that Onesimus was his slave and he could do what he wanted. You see, this letter is a model of resolving conflicts that can be duplicated in all areas of human discourse. But it will take all sides being willing to live by the instructions found written in the pages of the Bible, which is our moral compass. You know, Paul doesn't outright condemn slavery, that, you know, he don't outright condemn slavery like we might want him to. I think he should. And we don't really know the ending of this story. You see, we have no biblical reference to Philemon's reaction to Paul's letter. Did he take advantage of the Roman law, which would permit him to punish severely, even with death? Or did he set Onesimus free? Did Onesimus return to his position as a slave, but with the fellowship of a newfound brother in Christ? You know, all of these are probably and possibilities, but we just don't know. But there's a lot of writings from theologians throughout history. Some believe came the Bishop of Ephesus, and he was named Saint Onesimus in history. And it was probably because he was martyred. Paul was speaking with a strong undertone as he wrote to Philemon. Just because it is legal doesn't make it right. And that Christians should do what is right because it's the right thing to do. When I began to write this paper and I was trying to get a title and a subtitle so I could expound on it, you know, that's what was given to me. Just because it's legal doesn't make it right. And my mind started to wander about all of the things that are legal, but they're not morally sound. And so we're going into the lesson. We're going to go start at the 8th verse, and we're going to go all the way to the 22nd verse. And the verses before that, it was Paul, you know, giving his salutation. All Paul writing his letters. As we did the 13 books and you read anything about them and you started with the beginning, at least you would see there was salutation. Paul was greeting him and giving him honor and respect for what he had been doing, and all of that was up until the 8th verse. And then when we get to the 8th verse, he make his plea. He greeted him, and now he's making his plea. So in the verse 8 it says, "Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient." What he's saying? Even though I might be bold in Christ, I know who I am. You know, I brought you to Christ. He said, but I don't want to go that way because I can't overstep your rights. He said, and I want you to do it, but just because it's convenient and what I want, that's not the way I'm coming. See what he said? Therefore, thought I might be bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient. So that's what he was saying. And 9, he said, yet, for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such as one as Paul, as an old man, Paul, the aged. He said, I'm old now. He said, but I beseech you. And now also as a prisoner of Christ. And then 10 said, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bond. 11, which in time past was to be unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and me. He said, you know, back then he was a slave. You know, he hadn't been a slave. He said, but now he's profitable to me and you. He said, in 12 said, whom I have sent again, and therefore receive him that in my own bowels, and 13, whom I would have retained with me, that in this stead he might have ministered unto me in my bounds of the gospel. Paul said, you know, go ahead, you know, I'm going to send him to you. He said, but whom I would have retained with me if I could, because he has service of me and he's my brother. So that's what those scriptures, those verses are saying. And then Paul, you know, just a little explanation. Paul speaks to Philemon in love and respect. The letter to Philemon is a brilliant affirmation of ethical behavior of a Christian. So Paul and Onesimus were convinced that the right thing to do was to return him to his master, making right the earlier wrongs. You see, this may have seemed strange to the modern day mind, return an escaped slave. But you got to remember, slavery was a long-standing legal institute in that age, and Christians were to respect the laws pertaining to such until a day should dawn. Thus they do not. Paul, you would think he would be radical about this, like a Martin Luther King, but Paul didn't initiate any attempt to violently overthrow the practice of human bondage. They simply live Christian lives. Now watch this. And we wait for the leveling of Jesus Christ to work it out. You know, some things just are, and every battle is not yours. Paul was speaking for Onesimus, but there were many more slaves. But it was a legal practice, and it had been happening from the beginning of time. the Israelites were slaves in Egypt. They became slaves in Babylonia. They were slaves to the Assyrians. Come on, y'all. People always had personal slaves. You know, David had slaves. You know, even Abraham had slaves. And more servants than slaves in bondage. Well, I guess it was bondage, but they always had slaves. But Paul gonna just live his Christian life because Jesus turned things around. I guess, you know, some of these battlers is not ours. They belong to the Lord. You see, moreover, to these godly men, the issue was not what is the safest thing to do, nor what is best for us. Rather, it was that we should do what is right. And that showed that both of them had. If we look at 14, it says, but without thy mind would I do nothing, that they benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willing. Paul is telling him, you know, I'm not going to try to do nothing to force your mind, change your mind. He's saying, I don't want you to think that it's necessity or you're doing it because you have to. He said, but I want you to be willing. See that verse at the end of that verse 14 say, but willing. And 15, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season that thou should receive him forever. That's deep, y'all. Look at it again. After Paul told him, I'm not going to force you or push you, but I hope that you be willing. He said, but on the verse 15, he said, but let's think about it a minute. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season that thou shall receive him forever. You see, Paul was letting Philemon know that he was not demanding, but hoped that he would be willing. Now that Onesimus is a Christian, a beloved brother, these two will enjoy an entirely different relationship with one another. That the relationship is not merely of a one time, and that their familiar relationship that they have by being brothers in Christ will endure beyond the temporary aspects of this earth. That's deep. You see, this epistle is a thrilling testimony of the reality that the providence of God may be working in circumstances of which we have not dreamed. You see, Paul cautioned Philemon that perhaps Onesimus was separated season that you may have him forever. You see, while the apostle could not say for certain that God had orchestrated this separation, but he did allow these events that has worked out so wonderfully for Onesimus and for Philemon, as well as the situation appeared to have been divine. You see, it had divine footprints all over it. You know how some things that they're so bad and God turned it around for good? And God is always orchestrating things in our lives and he using situations to get to the intended purpose that he wanted. You see, Paul suggests that this separation hints of an action initiated by someone other than the runaway himself. And you have to know that that someone is God. And this is what's so remarkable, how heaven is able to orchestrate humans' events
while honoring man's freedom of choice. And this is one of the biggest mysteries that no one can fathom. See, God didn't make him run away, but God knew he would run away, and God used it. Hallelujah. You see, God wanted Onesimus to meet Paul, to meet Jesus. And if Onesimus may have stayed in a situation where he was, it might have not happened that way. You see, and that's what I tell all you guys, that, you know, there may be someone out there that wanna and need to hear about Jesus. And the only person they're going to get it may be you. So each and every one of us have to be on our job. And we have to do what God had asked us to do. You see, the document is so tremendous and it just shows us courage. You see, Onesimus was a relative recent convert. You know, he might not be a babe, but he was new in it. But his passion for doing right was tremendous. Consider the fact that the owner of the slave had complete control over his property. He could whip him or kill him at his own pleasure. You see, a runaway could be branded on his forehead, hallelujah, with the letter F for fugitive. Now, Paul saying, I'm going to return and send him back to you. Onesimus had to make a decision of his mind. I'm going to go back there. I'm going to go somewhere else. Come on, y'all. He knew in this thing. But he wasn't too new to want to do the right thing. Onesimus had a certain knowledge. He didn't have no knowledge of his fate. But he went ahead anyway. You see, that faith, even though it may not have been big, but that little faith produced bravery. You see, that when I read that, it made me think about the Hebrew boys. When the king told him, you don't know if your God's going to come save you. And the Hebrew boys say, we don't know if he would. But one thing we know, he could. And that's good enough for us. You see, we have to do like Onesimus and the Hebrew boys. We have to hold on to the confession of our faith when the rubber meets the road. And if we look at the last verses, 6:22, that we're going to expound on tonight, it say, now, not nigh as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the spirit. He said, don't take him back as a servant, but treat him above a servant. Treat him as a brother. And you see, this is telling us, you know, in our lives today, we may have businesses and we have employees. They're not slaves, but this is the same situation. People that is under your rule, are people that, you know, has to listen to you because of whatever position you're in. He's saying treat people, especially those in the house of faith, especially Christians, treat them with brotherly love. I mean, you could get your job done without being harsh, mean, and hateful towards people and just outright evil. He said, you know, but how much more unto thee he's going to be now, the flesh as your worker, and then the Lord as your spiritual brother. And 17 say, if you count me before a partner, this Paul talking to Philemon, he said, now if you counted me as a partner, receive him to thyself. And 18,
And if he has wronged thee or owed thee aught, put it to my account. I, Paul, have written in my own handwriting. You see, the reason he said that he was writing it in his own handwriting and not having someone else write it so it could be authenticated that it's me. I'm telling you, if he owe you something, I'm going to pay it back. It's in my writing. I will repay it all bit. I do say to be how I do. Let me get my eyes focused. I do not say to thee how thy owed unto me, even thy self besides. Paul said, I'm not going to even bring it up. Because you know how some people live? Well, man, let me tell you what I did for you. And you remember when I did this for you and this and that? He said, now you could do this for me. Paul said, I'm not going to even go there. He said, if he owe you, I'm going to repay you. I'm going to spin him back. I'm not going to force you to do it. I want you to do it willingly. I'm respecting you because he's your property. And then 20 say, ye brother, let me have joy of being the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. And then when he gets to 21, it's Paul talking. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I ask. But withal prepare me a lodging. For I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. After he got through saying all he had to say, it was over. See, some people want to say what they want to say and they want to make you do this. Paul made his plea. He respected the man and he made his plea. And now what he's saying, he said, this last one, he said, look, prepare me a lodging, like, for I trust that through your prayer I might be given to you. Paul said, I plan to come and see y'all soon, so get my room ready. Paul's showing us how to take care of something. Paul know what he want, and he know what he want. But that's that man's slave. Paul even say, I'm your spiritual father. You know how they have some spiritual father, spiritual pastors these days want to make people do what they want them to do and force them to? Paul say, I'm not going to even talk about what I did to you. He's saying, I'm not going to force you, but I hope that you be willing. But in the end, he said, knowing that thou will also do more than I say. You cannot get these with vinegar. You see, Onesian is now a Christian, no longer merely a slave, but also a brother. That meant that Onesian and Philemon were members of God's family, the body of Christ, equal. They ain't never said that he had to let Onesia go and he wasn't supposed to use him for his labor, but use him respectfully. Respect him. You know, Paul didn't fight against slavery. But he's telling you how to treat one another, even someone that's under you. You know, they have some bosses, especially, you know, that's why they say people go post at the post office, that treated people so bad. And then after Katrina, we all were getting work done on our house, and there was always somebody working under us. How did we treat them? Some people sure didn't treat them the way they wanted to be treated. Many of them did the work and didn't get paid. And grant you, many contractors took money too. And that wasn't right either. But Paul is telling us, watch how we treat one another, especially those in the household of faith. Here we see Paul taken on the image of the Son of God, You know, everything in the Bible points to us taking on the image of Jesus Christ. You see, he was willing to make an investment in the life of a new believer. New believers come in our church every day, and we walk over them as if they don't come. You see, he was interceding for Epaphras to his master, just as Christ is interceding to our master on our behalf. Hallelujah. He is also willing to pay the price, the debt owed to redeem, just like Christ paid our debt that redeemed us and set us free. Because we were all slaves to sin. Come on now. And some of us still have sins in our lives that we are still slaves to. Paul wrote this in his own writing to make it binding. Jesus died. And then he rose. And he washed us in his blood. And he filled us with the Holy Ghost that made it binding. Look at Paul, y'all. You see, Philemon owed himself to Paul, meaning that Paul was his spiritual father. He was hoping he would feel a debt of gratitude that he would repay by accepting Onesimus, just in a spirit of forgiveness. That's all he asked. But you see, Paul sends Onesimus back to Philemon and asks the slave owner to be generous towards him, apparently hoping that Onesimus will be returned to Paul. Because Paul said, I really could use him. You know, because some people had begun to leave Paul, and Onesimus was faithful and things like that. But you see, it's not clear whether Paul also expects Philemon to give Onesimus his freedom. But I close with, Paul was confident that Philemon would do more than he asked. And that's good, y'all. You know, that's good when someone could be confident that you're going to do the right thing, to have assurance that you're going to do what is right and even more. Do you have a reflection on you that people can see you and know you that way? Or always when somebody dealing with you, they have to go through the guessing game. And sometimes they don't have to guess. They just know it's not going to be nothing right. And there are a lot of things going that's really legal in the world. The Bible teaches us to obey the laws of the land. But remember, the only law you shouldn't obey is anything that exalts itself against the word of God. You know, there was a lady that married people, and it was a two men or two ladies, whatever, wanted to get married, and it was her job to marry him, and she refused, you know, and she lost her job. She was willing to lose her job. You know, I don't know if everybody will go that far, will that, you know, be that important to them, but I'm saying it was legal. But to her, it wasn't morally right. So as we end our lesson tonight, and it was the last lesson that we have with the letters of Paul, it is my desire, my hope, and my dream that when you think of the Apostle Paul and the letters that he wrote, that you would have some concept and precept of those 13 books. Because we are in Bible study. I hope that the teaching helped, and I hope it gave you a desire to want to know more. And not just the books that we did that Paul had wrote, the Pauline letters or epistles, you know, but we done did the Gospels, and And then, you know, we did the history, which was Acts. And then we went into the Pauline letters as far as the New Testament is concerned. And the next book is the book of Hebrews, and it breaks up the, well, it don't break up the letters. It's a letter, but the author is unknown. And then we're going to have about six other letters, but they're going to be personal letters because they're going to be written by the individuals themselves, not Paul. And then we're going to do the book of Revelation. So we wind it out, y'all. We started in January, and we started in the book of Genesis, and now we're in the month of February, January last month, made a whole year that we have been doing the books of the Bible. We're in February, it's Black History Month. I started off with Martin Luther King and Mahalia Jackson, and I hope you could see the same thing. You see, Martin Luther King was interceding to our Father for us. Come on, y'all. They're taking on the image of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that's our lesson for tonight. If anyone would like to say anything, comment on a lesson, Black History Month, want to tell us anything, lead us out in prayer, have words of encouragement, anything. You could press the one button on the phone right now, and I'll open the mic, and you could go through the airwaves. If anyone would like to have anything to say, could you please press the one button? You could talk about the letters that Paul wrote over and over and over again, and what maybe you learned from him, what you learned about Paul maybe you didn't know, what Paul said that could help you to grow. But anything you want to say, you could press the one button at this time. Caller, your number is 504-975. Your mic is open. Caller, 504-975-19. Your mic is open.
Hey, Minister Diane, it's Pat Webb. How you doing?
Hey, Patricia, First Lady Webb.
I don't know why it's been a while since I've been on the line because of various things, and I was off tonight, and it just so happened that, you know, I felt like I needed to be on the line, so I read the lesson and, you know, didn't fully understand it, and I just want to say that it was awesome, and it was a confirmating word for the things that I had been going through. Unforgiveness was like a weighted sin, like heaviness, you know. It was to the point where I had forgotten how I was forgiven. And it came to the point where I had to forgive, and I had a hard time. And so this lesson for me just was confirming. It brought back to me God's word, you know, with him dealing with me. You know, you forgot I helped you. Don't forget that. You know, I brought you from this place. And so now this person who, you know, who you believe has wronged you or wronged whatever, and you need to forgive them. And so it was like that, so that we all can move on, because we're all, you know, pressing toward the higher mark. And so that unforgiveness was holding me back. And so I didn't even realize it until, you know, God brought it to my attention, and then it was confirmed, you know, through his word. And so I know that I'm on the right track. I just want to say thank you. That was an awesome lesson. Awesome, awesome, awesome.
And I want to thank you, Sister First Lady Patricia Webb. Patricia, you could tell our listeners, you know, about your church and where it's at. You know what I'm saying? Because they're... Maybe people out here looking for a church home, there may be someone that is not saved. And I say it all the time, this is not a substitution. This is not in place to replace church, because God ordained the church, and he said we should fellowship with one another. And, you know, there may be somebody that's backslidden or looking for a church home, you know, and I don't advocate for any church. I just advocated for the church of God, for that people can go. But it's always good to give them some information. And since
you on the line, and you are a new first lady, and you and your family and your husband has been made the leader of a new church. I could share it with the listeners.
Well, hello, everybody. I'm Patricia Webb. My husband is Reverend Derek Webb, and he is the pastor. He is my pastor of Second Zion Baptist Church, number one, which is located 2929 Second Street, Uptown New Orleans. Service starts at 11 o'clock on Sundays, and there is Bible study on Tuesdays at 12 o'clock in the day. So thank you.
And I want to thank Sister Pat. Sister Pat, husband Derek and myself, we were ministers in Christ together, and he became a reverend, and God placed him in a church. And it was so exciting for me because, you know, God said, I'm going to give you things you don't have to build with your own hand. You know, I think about a lot of churches doing building funds to get a building because they don't have one. And he got a building. And not only he got a building, he got a big old Eaton Hall. What you call that? The church hall where you can sit down and all the people can eat. You know, God set him up. But you see, wherever God, he's going to also provide. And I could tell you one thing. I could tell you many things. But you see, Pastor Derek Webb, he's humble. He's humble than humble pie. He's one of the most humblest people I know in my life. So it wasn't nothing for me to receive what God was doing for him because, you see, of his humbleness. We have to be humble sometimes to be rich. We have to be humble, and people think about humble being low. But sometimes you got to be low to be lifted up high. And I thank God for you, First Lady Webb, and your family, and your three children, because I've seen them grow in the time that we fellowship and worship together. And you guys are truly a godly family. And a good example, and I learned a lot from just looking at y'all. And I say thank God for y'all, and glory be to God for all that he's going to do in y'all lives. And I just want to say thank you for listening tonight, and you know I love you. And I'll be talking to you. Amen, and y'all be blessed. Is there anyone else who would like to say anything? Would anyone love to lead us out in prayer? Would anyone need prayer? And Sister Webb, I'm going to open your mic back again, and I know you are always ready. Could you lead us out in prayer tonight?
Sure. Dear Heavenly Father, first of all, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for everything that you've done, God. Thank you for this lesson that Minister Diane has prepared. Thank you for speaking through her, God. Thank you for the hearts that receive, God. Thank you for everyone that's on this line that's able to receive it. And I hope that the word just goes forth in their life and they're able to share the word and spread abroad. God, thank you for your confirmation. Thank you for everything that you've done in our lives so far, God. And if there's anything, any ought in our heart, towards anything that you told us not to do, if there's anything that shouldn't be within us, God, we ask that you remove it, any unforgiveness, God, anything that will block us from you, block us from seeing you, block us from knowing you, block us from spending time with you, God, we ask that you remove it right now in the name of Jesus. And God, we thank you for allowing this to happen at this time on this date, God. And we don't take it for granted. God, we love you, and we thank you. We thank you for everything. God, I ask a special blessing for Minister Diane for all that she does, the pouring out of your word, God, and your word working through her, God, that it's going through the airways, that people across the nation are being fed the word, God, who may not have a chance to make it into a church edifice, God, but they're still able to get a word. And, God, that this may encourage them, God, to go forth in the work that you have placed within them to do. God, we thank you, and we can't get along without you, and we give you all the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
thank you so much, First Lady West.
Yeah.
And I want you guys to know I'm still in the city of Macomb, Mississippi. I broadcast from Mississippi last week, and I'm still in Mississippi. I imagine I will be in New Orleans on next Wednesday, but I want you guys to pray for one another and pray for me as well. And y'all be blessed, and y'all be safe, and y'all understand that whatever is going on around us, no matter how it looks, remember that God is in control. And if you take care, of God's business, he will take care of yours. And I just want to tell each and every one of you, I love you. And if God allows it, we'll be back again on next week. Next week's lesson is coming from the book of Hebrews. God hasn't given me the chapter and the verses as of yet, but soon as he reveals it to me, I will reveal it to you. So until then, it is my prayer that you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Good night. Amen. And be blessed.